All right. So we're holding by the Mishnah on Tesayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hamashal shel tfonis milmaila lamata." If a person lowers the walls of the sukkah from the top to the bottom, so let's say he's weaving them downward, he's sliding them down into place. Im gavoya mina aretz shloisha tfachim psula. If the walls wind up three or more tfachim above the ground, then it's possible. So Rashi mentions the reason she's dakarak dib vasarosh, which we mentioned the other day, that goats are going to be able to jump straight through, or going to be able to walk or jump straight through, and therefore that's mevatal the mechitza. The Meiri brings a svara rather that you don't build walls from the top down in general. That's not the normal way to build walls. So it's one thing when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we can consider such walls that are for certain purposes that we're going to say in the Gemara, we can consider such walls that are suspended above the ground as if they're real walls. But when it comes to sukkah, nothing doing unless it's within three tefachim, and of course within three tefachim is going to be lovely. On the other hand, milamata lamayla, if he puts the walls from the bottom to the top, meaning he starts building them in the normal way, you start building layer by layer from the bottom. Im gavoya sara tefachim kshera. If he winds up getting it to a height of 10 tefachim, then it's kosher. In other words, even though maybe there's a large distance from there until the schach, but that's good enough, because once you have 10 tefachim is a mechitza, and then already we say good asik, that we consider as though the wall was pulled, as though that 10 tefach wall was pulled upward and joins the schach, and then comes close enough to the schach. So we're talking about, in other words, now in the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about whether there's a horizontal distance between the walls and the schach, and what the dinim are about that. Here we're talking about vertical distance, so we're saying once you have 10 tefach of mechitza, then the vertical distance beyond that doesn't matter. Rabbi Yossi, says no. You never mind the first part of the Mishnah about it being three tefachim off the ground. Just as all you need is 10 tefachim from the bottom to the top, the same way from the top to the bottom, all you need is 10 tefachim, and we don't care. We don't care whether it's a mechitza tzluya, whether it's hanging three or more tefachim off the ground, as long as you have 10 tefach, as long as you have 10 tefachim of wool. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kam b'flavi." So what is the underlying machloikus between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim? So mar sava mechitza tzluya materes, or mar sava mechitza tzluya ain't a materes. So you have the two different opinions. Is a mechitza that's hanging in the air and doesn't reach all the way to within three tefachim of the ground, is that considered a mechitza or not? So Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that it is. It's matur things, it's matur things both as far as Shabbos and as far as a sukkah. And they hold that mechitza tluya is not going to help. If it's within three tefachim of the ground, then fine, lovud, otherwise not. So the Gemara says tnan hasam. Let's look at a Mishnah in Eruvin and see and relate it to our Mishnah over here. The Mishnah describes over there, Bershaben Shtei Chatzeres. If you have a water pit, a water hole between two Chatzeres. Now, if those two Chatzeres made an Eruv, obviously there's no problem. That each of them can draw water from it, same as they can carry anything else between one Chatzer and another. But suppose that they did not make an Eruv Chatzeres. So now you have between one Chatzer and the next, there's usually a wall. But that wall is not good enough to be able to draw the water. The problem is that the water inside the pit mixes together. So anytime you draw from one side, inevitably you're moving water from one side to the other as well. So therefore you have a problem. So ein memalin mimena b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to fill up water from neither side. Is allowed to fill up water from that pit on Shabbos. Elim ken oslam chitza asarat fachim. Unless he made it a mechitza, unless before Shabbos they made a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Now, not the mechitza as just the wall that goes over the pit. We're going to see soon Rabbi Yehuda says that that's fine. We're talking about you have to build a mechitza for this purpose. Someplace further down, ben milamayla ben milamata, whether above or below, ben misarich oignoi. Within the hollow of the pit. So Rashi over here explained there's actually two different opinions in the Gemara and Eruv in what Lamaila and Lamata mean exactly, but Rashi over here is following one of them, that Lamaila would be at the top edge of the burr, as long as it's 10 tefachim tall, much further up than the water level. So the pit, let's say, is 10 feet deep. You're going to, let's say the pit is 10 amos deep. So you're going to build a wall directly below the wall between the chatzeres, going down 10 tefachim. And even though the bottom of that wall is far above the surface of the water, that'll still be fine. That's lamaila. Lamata would be that you build it closer to the surface of the water. And b'seich oignoi would mean it has to be dafka inside the hollow, inside the space of the pit, not just above it. So both Rashi and Tosfos over here, they mention different gersois over here, and that b'seich oignoi is not really a separate thing, but even though it says bein b'seich oignoi, it's not really a separate thing. I mean, the lamaila and the mata both have to be b'seich oignoi inside the hollow of the pit rather than just above it. There's different other explanations for example, Bartanura on the Mishnah in Eidovin explained that Lamaila, as we said, would be far away from the water. Lamata would be mostly in the water and sticking out a little. Lamaila would be above the water and sticking out a tiny bit into it. Lamata would be mostly below the water and sticking up a little bit above it. And the Seich Ognei would be completely within the hollow, and then it's fine even if it's far above the water. Whatever the case, once you do that, now it's true, of course, the water still mixes underneath the mechitza, but that doesn't matter because at least you've made a heker, and therefore the chachamim are satisfied with that, and you're going to be able to draw water from this on Shabbos. So the Mishnah continues. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's not so simple that you can make such a thing. It's actually a machlokes. Reb Shammai says that the wall that you make inside the pit, dafka has to be. So Rashi explains actually over here that Mishamah is being Makel and Mishilul is being Machmir, which is the opposite of usual. But anyway, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, Mishamah says Milamaila. It's enough if you make the wall in the pit right from the top of the pit working your way down, even though it's hanging above the water. Or Mishilul says that no, it has to be closer to the water, so it's more of a heker. Whatever the case, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you need all that? A wall that you're going to build inside this pit over there shouldn't be any bigger than the actual, the mechitza that you're going to make over there shouldn't be greater than the actual wall between the chatzeres, which passes right over the middle of the burr. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda allows a mechitza tzluya. The Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are saying that you need, okay, it's a mechitza tzluya, fine. It's hanging far above, it can be hanging far above the surface of the water, but at least it's inside the, it's below the lip of the, of the well. And therefore, fine, it's enough of a heker that we're going to allow it, even though it's mechitza tzluya, because there are certain cases we say, we learned in Eruvin a lot about this, kalhushe kelu chachamim b'mayim, the chachamim are mekel a lot when it comes to things involving water, for one thing, because everybody needs water all the time, and therefore we're going to be mekel and allow it even though it's hanging above the water. But Rabbi Yehuda says you don't even need a heker. All you need is the wall that passes between two chatzeres and passes above the lip of the well. So Amar Rava Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amar. This that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in that Mishnah is following the same svara as Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah over here. Dama mechitzit loyam ateres. Where he says that a mechitza tloya is fine. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi allows it, even though the bottom of the mechitza is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, as long as you have enough height to constitute a mechitza, 10 tefachim. By the same token, Rabbi Yehuda is saying over there that you have a wall between the two chatzeres, even though it's far above the water, and even though there's no heker in it, that it's for the water, it doesn't matter. We still say good achis. We still consider as though the bottom of that wall was pulled down into the water. And there you go. And now you have a mechitza in the water, and therefore you're able to draw from it on Shabbos. But the Gemara says, Veloihi, it's actually not so. They're not really saying the same thing. Loi Rabbi Yehuda Savalak Rabbi Yosi, Veloi Rabbi Yosi Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi are not actually agreeing with each other. Because because ad kan like Amar Rabbi Yehuda Hasam Elab Erev Chatzeres Drabanan. You know when Rabbi Yehuda is talking about is Erev Chatzeres, which after all Erev Chatzeres is only Drabanan, so therefore he's going to allow without a mechitza that with a mechitza that's so far above the surface of the water and that's not even dipping down into the well at all, he's going to allow it. But here you're talking about sukkah, which is daraisa, and that it needs to have walls is daraisa. So Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily going to agree with Rabbi Yossi and say that mechitza tluya is going to be fine. And the lawyer Rabbi Yossi savalak Rabbi Yehuda, and vice versa. There's no reason to assume Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Yehuda because ad kan like Amar Rabbi Yossi hacha elab sukkah de mitzvah sesed. You know when Rabbi Yossi is talking about over here. Listen, sukkah. A person doesn't sit in a proper sukkah. Maximum, they're violating a mitzvah sesed. There's no particular punishment for it or anything. So therefore, we can say that we're lenient with it, and we define the mechitzas very leniently. And we say that you don't need that a mechitza tluya is fine. Aval Shabbos to Isur Skila. But when it comes to Shabbos in general, malachas of Shabbos involve an Isur Skila, which is much more serious. So not necessarily is Rabbi Yossi going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda on that and say that the wall that passes over the top of the well is going to be fine. Maybe according to him, you still would need a wall that dips down 10 tefachim into the well. Now, when we say over here that Shabbos is a chiyuv skila, now one way of understanding it is we just mean, in other words, that not this specific case. I mean, obviously, in this specific case, you're talking about chatzeres, and the chatzeres have walls around them. The whole concept that you can't carry in the chatzer or between one chatzer and the next is only drabanan. So therefore, obviously, there's no chiyuv skila involved. So one way of understanding it is it just means that we mean Shabbos in general involves an issur skila. Fine, this particular case is something d'rabbanon, but we talk about often kol d'tokun rabbanon ke'in d'araisa tokun. Whenever the chachamim make a takana, they model it as much as possible on the din d'araisa. So therefore, even though in this particular case there's no skila, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi could argue that we're machmir. However, the Pnei Yeshua finds a scenario where actually you have a mechitza tluya that would involve a chiyuv skila. Here we're talking about in a chatzer, where you have walls around the chatzer. But you could have, let's say, for example, another example of mechitza tluya is, let's say, an overpass over a street, an overpass or a bridge or whatever over a street, where you're going to say that you're going to say that maybe the sides of it being 10 tefachim tall, we would say that the good asik, and we'd hold that they come down and enclose an area, which in fact we had in a few places in Masechta Erevin where Rabbi Yehuda holds just that. He holds that an area underneath such an overpass is considered a reshus hayachid daraisa, and only drabanan is it also to carry over there. Rabbi Yossi might well say that no, in that case, I consider that an actual reshus rabim. There is an actual chiyuv skila over there. Therefore, we can't generally say that mechitza tluya should be fine only when it comes to sukkah, which is maximum mitzvah saseh. So the Gemara says, v'im toimar. Now, if you're going to ask, if we say that Rabbi Yossi does not necessarily allow a mechitza tluya in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, he's only allowing it in connection with sukkah. So you're going to ask, ma'isa shenasa b'tzipori, the well-known story that happened in Tzipori that the Gemara is going to bring in a minute, al pi mi nasa, then who did they follow? If you, Rabbi Yossi was the Rav in Tzipori. Rashi brings over here from a Gemara and Sanhedrin that lists various places that you should always try to go to the best highest caliber based in that's available in your area. And the Mishnah over there, the Gemara rather, with the Braisa, brings over there a list of places, a list of cities around Eretz Yisrael, and their Rabbonim, where that's the based in to go to. And it mentions Rabbi Yossi and Tzipori. You also have in Masechta Shabbos, you have where the Romans at one point, after the whole story over there with the conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon about what the Romans are and aren't doing, that Rabbi Yossi, the Romans said, Yigla l'Tzipori should go in Golos to the city of Tzipori and stay over there. So he settled over there and he was the Rav. So Bapashtos, if we have something that was done over there involving a Mechitza Tluya, we would assume it was done based on his understanding. So then, but if you're telling me Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow mechitzat loya by Shabbos, then how could that be? The answer is loya pi Rabbi Yossi el al pi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. The answer is it wasn't according to Rabbi Yossi, it was according to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. In other words, you're thinking it happened while Rabbi Yossi was still alive and they followed his shitta. No, this was already after he'd passed away. His son Rabbi Shmuel took over, and Rabbi Shmuel held that Rabbi Shmuel held like more similar to Rabbi Yehuda that a mechitzat loya is fine for Shabbos as well. Okay, so what's the story? You're my maisa. Osir of Dimi Omer, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, Pam achas shachu v'lo yaviyo sefer Torah me'erev Shabbos. One time it happened in Tzipori that they forgot to bring the sefer Torah to the shul before Shabbos. So Rashi explains that they didn't used to keep the sefer Torah in the shul. They used to keep it in a private person's house because they were afraid that Goyim would steal it or something. So the house was in the same chotzer as the shul. So Rashi says two scenarios. Either what it is that so one scenario is the house was in the same chotzer as the shul, and various houses over there in that chotzer hadn't made an eruv, so it's also to carry in that chotzer. Or the scenario is that the sefer Torah is in a house in a chotzer on one side of the Mavri, and the shul is on the other is in a chotzer on the other side of the Mavri, and they didn't make a shita from Avayis. Whatever the case, midrabanan, they're also to carry the sefer Torah, but so they didn't bring it before Shabbos. L'mocher, the next day on Shabbos, pirsus dinin argabe hamudim, they spread out sheets on pillars. So there were pillars over there along the width of the Mavri. So they spread out sheets on them in order to make a mechitza. So that way, on the other side of the mechitza, that way behind the mechitza, all you have is the house and the shul. And a shul doesn't need to participate in the eruv because nobody lives there. So therefore, they're now allowed to carry between one and the other. So they did that. They spread out sheets on pillars. They view sefer Torah for korobai, and then they were able to bring the sefer Torah and to read from it. So the Gemara asked, before we figure out what this has to do with mechitzat loya, first of all, pirsu sakadaitach, what do you mean they first spread them out on Shabbos? Mehechan hevium. How would they have been able to bring them? How would they have been able to bring them in the first place? Mehechan hevium b'Shabbos. Where would they have been able to bring them on Shabbos? The whole point is that you're not allowed to carry in this area, in this chotzer or this mavri. So how are they b'chlal allowed to bring the sheets in the first place and in order to put them up? Rashi explains over here, the problem is not putting up a mechitza, because Rashi holds here and in various other places in Shas that there's no problem on Shabbos building a vertical mechitza without a horizontal component. And that's how it is over here, because they're in order to make a mechitza to be able to carry the Sefer Torah through, they don't need anything on top, they don't need a roof, all they need is a vertical mechitza. So Rashi learns that you're perfectly allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the problem is not that they put up the mechitza, the problem is how would they have brought the sheet there in the first place? Ella, Motzus, Dinin, Prusin, Agabe Hamodim. So rather, what happened was they found that there were already sheets spread on the poles before Shabbos. They view a sefer Torah b'kodoboy, and therefore they were able to bring the sefer Torah and read from it. So in other words, the point is that these sedinim are high up from the ground. So it's a mechitzat loya. So that's the thing. So we're saying, if Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold by Shabbos that a mechitzat loya is valid, then how did this work? And the answer is because it was Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi who allowed it, and he holds that a mechitzat loya is fine. Tosfos has a number of problems with Rashi's explanation. First of all, what are you wondering so much about how they could have brought the sheets if they can't carry? Very simple. All they have to do is wrap the sheets around themselves as clothing and walk over there and then put them over there. So for that and for a few other reasons, Tosfos learns that, and also, b'chlal, this that we're saying that Rashi allows you to put up a vertical mechitza on Shabbos, Tosfos and many other Rishonim disagree with that and say that if you're putting up the mechitza for privacy, maybe is one thing, but if you're putting it up for purposes of halacha, as in this case, you want to put it up in order to be able to carry on Shabbos, then you can't do that. So therefore, for all those reasons and several others, Tosfos has a different explanation, which is that what it is that you're taka not allowed to put up a mechitza on Shabbos. However, if the mechitza is already spread out one tefach, then you're allowed to extend it. You have a similar halacha also as far as other things. In places where there's an Eruv, for example, or for that matter on Yom Tov, if let's say you have a baby carriage, a stroller, that has the canopy over it extended at least one tefach, then you're allowed to spread out the rest on Shabbos. Another example would be if let's say you want to put up your shlok over your sukkah on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov. If it's already opened up a tefach, then you're allowed to continue spreading it out. You have various other examples like that, both horizontally and vertically, because the halacha is not like Rashi, and that the halacha is like Tosfos, the accepted halacha in Shulchan Aruch is like Tosfos and the other Rishonim, that horizontal, that vertical is also a problem. But if you have a tefach of it spread out before Shabbos, then it's fine. So therefore, the question would be over here, how could they be bringing sheets and making a vertical mechitza? Never mind how they brought the sheets, but how can they be making a vertical mechitza? And the answer is there was already a tefach of it spread out, and they just unrolled the rest of the sheets and spread them out. But even so, it came out more than 3 tefachim above the ground, so that still wouldn't have helped them to carry the Sefer Torah if they had held like Rabbi Yossi. But because it was Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, therefore they were fine. Okay. Getting back now to the matter of the sukkah, so we said that with the sukkah, if the wall is within 3 tefachim of the ground, then fine because of lavud. Only if it's three or more tefachim above the ground do you have a problem, because as we said before, gdoyim boikim, because goats can walk through, or as the Meiri said, because b'chlal you don't usually build walls that way. So now omer of chista omer avimi. Suppose you have a mat that is a little more than 4 tefachim wide. You're able to use that as a wall of your sukkah and have it be a kosher wall. What do you do? What you do is you hang it in the middle. So you have, in other words, you have a frame for the wall of your sukkah, you have poles or whatever to make a frame. Now what you do is you put this mat up. You hang it in the middle, so there's space above and space below. Pachas mishloish lamato, pachas mishloish lamayla. It would be less than 3 tefachim below from it to the ground, less than 3 tefachim from it to the top of the sukkah. So obviously, we're talking about a sukkah which is exactly 10 tefachim tall. Whenever you have less than 3 tefachim, then you say lavud. So now what we have is you have lavud between the bottom edge of the mat and the ground, and you have lavud between the top edge of the mat and the schach, and therefore you have 10 tefachim, therefore you're good. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? We know of the concept of lavud, so why would we think otherwise? The answer is, chad lavud amrinin, shrei lavud v'amrinin. If Rav Chista hadn't told us that, we would have thought, maybe you can only say lavud one time. Maybe you can't say lavud on both sides. Maybe, in other words, to make the wall kosher when it's not full 10 tefachim, using one lavud, maybe we could do. But to do the same thing twice, to have on the bottom, you're going to say lavud, and on the top, you're going to say lavud, and have that, and you don't even have most of the height of the wall here, because you only have 4 tefachim and a little bit out of 10, you would have thought you can't do that, kamash malon, therefore Rav Chista wants us to know that it's fine to do it that way as well. Tosfos explains that it's one thing when you have, there's a difference, Tosfos says, between a horizontal wall and a vertical wall. If you have, we learned last week that if you have, let's say, a wall of a sukkah where you have a stake stuck in the ground, and then within 3 tefachim of it another stake, and so on and so forth, then that counts as a wall of a sukkah, even though you're having to use lavud multiple times. But that would be one thing, but to say over here, where you're hanging a mat horizontally, and if that's not a normal way of making a wall, you wouldn't have thought that works. Therefore, Rav Chista wants you to know that that works as well. So the Gemara asks, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Machtzelas Shiva Umashu, a mat that's 7 tefachim in a little bit, Materes Besuka Mishum Dofen, is Mater a sukkah and counts as a wall. Now, so they were saying 7 tefachim and a little bit. So how is Rav Chista telling us 4 and a little bit? The answer is Kitanyahi b'sukkah gdola. That braisa is talking about a larger sukkah, one that's more than 10 tefachim tall. Or my kamash belonged to mishal shalim tefonis. Milamayla lamata k'Rabbi Yosi. So the braisa just wants us to know, like that it holds like Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, that as long as you have 10 tefachim of height, then we don't care if it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So here, since you have a mat which is 7 tefachim and a little bit, you put it within 3 tefachim of the schach. There is your 10 tefachim. And Rabbi Yossi would say that that's fine because the fact that it's hanging high above the ground doesn't matter. But that would only be according to Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim, of course, would disagree. Tosfos brings over here a girsa. Actually, Rashi as well brings a girsa over here. We're not going to say two lavuds because the sukkah is more than 10 tefachim tall. Therefore you're going to need the mat to be 7 tefachim tall. Had the sukkah been 10 tefachim tall, then yeah, we would have what Rav Chista said, that a mat 4 tefachim would be enough. But because of the taller sukkah, so Rashi learns actually that what we do is we put it within 3 tefachim of the ground. So we have in the Gemara over here, we're saying the Braisa is agreeing with Rabbi Yossi that Mechitza Tzluya Materas. Tosfos brings over here a different Girsa that doesn't have those words in the Gemara, that the Braisa is not necessarily agreeing with Rabbi Yossi. Rather, it's saying you put the mat within 3 tefachim of the ground, and within 3 tefachim is lavud, and therefore there's your less than 3 plus the height of the mat is 7, and therefore you're good. Okay. Another din in this connection, as far as lavud, now talking about horizontally, Amar Abami, pass arba umashu. If you have a piece of wood or something, or a pillar, which is 4 tefachim and a little bit wide, matir b'sukkah mishum doifin. That will be matir the sukkah on the grounds of a wall. In other words, we will consider that to be one of the walls of the sukkah. What you do is you take this piece that's 4 and a little bit wide, you put it within 3 tefachim of the wall, and then it's lavud, and therefore you're good. Now, according to Rashi, on the surface of over here, we're talking about where you have already 2 walls, and you're talking about how to make the third wall. The problem with that is the Ritva asks, Tosfos also discusses over here, that if in that case, then we already learned before, we learned previously on Daf Vav, that you don't need 4 tefachim, all you need is 1 tefach, and we said you put it within 3 tefachim of one of the walls, and we said, okay, Rava had said you make it Tzuras HaPesach as well. Why over here all of a sudden are we talking about that you need four tefachim? So he explains that actually what we're talking about is the second wall. So in other words, what you have is you have one complete wall. Now you're getting to building your second wall. Does your second wall have to be complete? So for it to be 1 tefach and you're going to put it within 3 tefachim, etc., obviously not, because you're only going to have 1.5 walls then. But over here, when you're using a piece that's 4 tefachim wide and you're putting it within 3 tefachim of the other one, and it's a small sukkah, 7 by 7 tefachim, so therefore we're good. Therefore, we're good. And now you have a second wall, and now you only have to worry about your third wall. Tosfos also discusses over here that we could be talking about what's called a sukkah hasuya kamavui. We talked about previously on Daf Vav, Daf Zayin, we talked about a sukkah that's shaped like a mavui, where you only have the 2 parallel walls, and you have one wall between them. And you need to build one wall between them. Where there we're saying that you need a 4 tefach wall. 1 tefach within 3 tefachim of the other ones is not going to be good enough, because we said over there you need at least 2 walls adjacent to each other. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malan." In that case, what is Rab Ami informing us? I mean, we know already the concept of lavud. So what is he adding? The answer is, the shiur meshach sukkah tana shiva. Rab Ami wants us to know that the minimum size of a small sukkah is 7 tefachim. We learned that previously on Daf Gimel, but we didn't actually say the number over there. We just said that the sukkah has to be large enough to fit the person's head and the majority of his body and his table. We didn't actually bring a clear definition over there of how many tefachim by how many tefachim that is. Now we have. Rav Ami is giving us the amount that it's 7 tefachim. And therefore, so now your pasar ba, your piece of wood or whatever, 4 tefachim wide within 3 tefachim of the wall makes up a wall of 7 tefachim. Next, Mishnah says, now let's talk about horizontal distance between the sukkah and the walls. If the schach is 3 or more tefachim away from the walls, psula, then the sukkah is possible. Because, in other words, so here we're going to talk about the concept of empty space passing it. So Rashi mentions a point like this. We learned before about the concept of doifen akuma, that halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, that in certain cases we consider as if the wall was bent over. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. You can understand that the wall, you can understand that doifen akuma works by taking the schach posel that is there on the side and considering it as though it was an extension of the wall, as though the wall was bent over, and saying that therefore the wall reaches toward the schach. That's one way. The other way would be that doifen akuma would be that in effect we take the wall itself and move it over towards the schach. Rashi over here mentions it has to be the first way, because otherwise, if it was the second way, then why shouldn't it work just as well by air? The fact that we see that doifen akuma only works by posel schach, and we say it works up to 4 amos, whereas when it comes to airspace, we say only 3 tefachim, shows that, and we can't apply the concept of doifen akuma, shows that it must be that doifen akuma involves bending or involves considering as though the schach that was there, as though the stuff that was there is an extension of the wall, and if there's nothing there, then there's nothing to consider, an extension of the wall. Although different other mafoshim talk about that maybe not, maybe you could say, look, you know, halacha l'moshe b'Sinai is it works only when there's schach posel. So here we're talking now. Of course, when we say the sukkah is posel, what we mean is when a typical sukkah like they had in those days, which has only 3 walls rather than 4. So now, if you have this airspace of 3 tefachim next to one of the walls or by the back wall, then it's no good because now your sukkah only has 2 walls in effect. Obviously, if you have a 4-wall sukkah and you have 3 tefachim space on one side, that's not a problem because you still have 3 walls. And by the same token, if you have 3 tefachim of space by the if it's a three-wall sukkah and you have 3 tefachim of space or more by the front of it, not a problem because you still have the back part of it, which has schach, it still has 3 walls. Okay. Next, the Mishnah continues. Bayis shenifchas, if the roof of a house caved in. And so now you have a hole in the middle of the roof, the sikach al gabav, and then you put schach over the hole. Im yesh min hakoisel sikach arba amos psula. If between the walls of the house and the edges of the schach is 4 or more amos, then it's going to be possible. So up to 4 amos, we'll say doifen akuma, as we've learned before. But beyond, but 4 or more amos, we won't be able to say that. And therefore, again, that side does not have a wall. Again, obviously, if it's a house has 4 walls, so therefore, if you have a distance of 4 amos on one side, no big deal. You still have 3 walls on the other side. But if you have that distance of 4 or more amos on 2 or more sides, then it's not going to be good. The same thing would apply to a chotzer that is surrounded by an achsadra. So Rashi explains over here that, so chotzer we know, all the houses open out into it. Now, sometimes what they would do is they would build in the chotzer, they would have ledges sticking out of the walls of the houses over the chotzer. They're on 3 sides, and therefore, so what you have in effect is that, so you have the wall of the house. Then you have sticking out from the wall of the house is a ledge that extends out, some distance. We're going to talk about more or less than 4 amos. Then after that you have the open space of the chotzer that's open to the sky, and you have that on 3 sides. So now So now the same thing then, if you have that, if you have a distance of 4 amos between the walls of the houses and the edge of the achsadra, then no good, because now your sach is four or more amos away from the walls, and therefore on those sides the sukkah doesn't have walls. If you're able to see on the Zoom, then here I'll show the picture over here to give a better example of the chotzer with the achsadra around it. If you're not watching, then I guess you'll have to make do with the verbal description I gave. All right. Anyway. So the same thing over there. Those ledges that are sticking out of the walls, if they're four amos wide, then they pass all the sukkah, because then you don't have walls, and then you don't have a wall on that side. Another din, the Mishnah says, sukkah gdola shikifur b'davar she'en mesachin bay. If you have a large sukkah, meaning much more than 7 by 7 tefachim, and you surrounded the edges of the schach with something that you're not allowed to use for schach. If underneath that posel aschach there's 4 or more amos, then the sukkah is going to be posel for the same reason, because then you have 4 amos between the edge of the schach and the wall. So the Gemara asks, Kol Hani Romali, why do you need all in the second part of the Mishnah? Why do you need all those three examples? The case of the house that collapsed, and the chotzer with the achsadra, and the sukkah that was surrounded with material that you can't use for schach. By the way, the reason why the Mishnah said sukkah gdola is because if it's a sukkah ktana, obviously you forget about 4 amos, you need to have 7 by 7 tefachim of schach. Sukkah gdola would mean the sukkah is large enough that even once you subtract the posel of schach that's all around the edges, you're still going to have 7 by 7 in the middle. So if those edges are less than 4 amos wide, then you're good. The only problem is if they're more than 4 amos wide, because then if they're 4 or more amos wide, because then you can't say Jofen Akova anymore. Anyway, so why do you need 3 examples in the Mishnah? A house where the ceiling caved in, and a chotzer surrounded by an achsadra, and a sukkah that was surrounded around the edges with material that you can't use for schach. Like Moses says, tzricha, we need all 3 of them. The Iyashmin and Bayis Shenifchas, if we were only told about the case of the house that collapsed, you would say, you know why you're allowed to use it, and you know why those walls count as walls for the sukkah when they're within 3 tefachim, when they're within 4 amos of the hole, is Mishum Dahani Mechitzis Labayis Avidon. Because after all, the walls are made to begin with for the inside of the house. So before you use those walls as the walls of the house that you lived in, now you're using them as the walls of the sukkah that you're living in. So therefore, sure. Therefore, we can say Dorfin Akuma. But when you have the second case of a chotzer surrounded by an achsadra, the mechitzis lav la'achsadra avidi. After all, the mechitzis, the walls of the houses, were not built to serve the achsadra. The walls are there for to mark off to provide privacy for the houses. So you could argue that maybe those and the achsadra and the roof sticking out over there are considered 2 separate things. We wouldn't say jofen akuma. So therefore, tzricha, therefore we need that case also, that even though in that case the walls belong to the houses, the achsadra belongs to the chotzer, nevertheless we can combine them. The Iyashmin and Hani Tauti, on the other hand, if we only said those 2, Mishab the Schach and Schach Koshahu, you would say, you know what, at least in those cases, the schach that's left by the edges is kosher to schach. In the case of the house, we're talking about, let's say, that the house was made out of the ceiling of the house, the roof of the house, was made out of wooden boards. So, okay, we talked about a couple of days ago about wooden boards, when they're kosher, when they're not. But at least, I mean, wood is in and of itself a material that is kosher for schach. And the same thing with the achsadra, the ledges that are sticking out of the houses are also wooden ledges. So therefore, you could say that maybe there we say Jofen Akuma, because at least you're talking about material that could be kosher for schach, conceivably. But the third case of a large sukkah that was surrounded around the edges with material that you're not allowed to use for schach, the schach in and of itself is posel schach. Emaloi, you would think that maybe not, maybe you can't say Doifen Akoma. Tzricha, so therefore we needed that case. And then, okay, you know, could have said that case and we would have derived the other two, but obviously, but the Mishnah often does that. Loi zu afzu. Not only this, but even this, mentioning the bigger and bigger chidushim as we go along, which is what we did. Okay. Now, let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah, where we said that three tefachim of space, of empty space on the edge of the sukkah, passes it. So, Omar Rabba, Ashkachtinu, by the way, Tosfos stresses over here that we have to be talking about when we say that three tefachim passes it, we mean where it's all along one edge, or where it's, or where it's three tefachim running in a strip all the way from one side of the sukkah to the other, or actually from one side of the sukkah to the other. It could still be kosher if you have seven tefachim, if you have 7x7 tefachim behind it, because then again that part has three walls. But if, let's say, you have, if it's not, if it's within seven tefachim of the back wall, or if it's running in a strip in the middle from the front of the sukkah, which again is usually open completely all the way to the back. So then, in that case, then the three tefachim in effect divides your schach into two parts. But if, let's say, if you only had three tefachim of space someplace in the middle, then not necessarily would you have a problem, because then the rest of the schach over there combines together, and the space over there fine. Maybe you can't sit under that space, but at least it wouldn't passel the sukkah as a whole. Okay. So Omar Rabba, Ashkachtinu l'rabbonon devei rab. Rabba says, I found the chachamim of the yeshiva. Bei Rav can mean the yeshiva of Rav, or it can just more generically mean the yeshiva. Anyway, Rabba says, I found them. The yasvir kamri, they were sitting and saying the following din, Abu posel b'shloisha, schach posel posel b'abba. Empty space in the sukkah, as we said, going along one side or going from one end to the other of the sukkah, passels the sukkah when you only have three tefachim of it. Schach posel, posel ba'aba, but posel the schach, in order to passel the sukkah, is going to passel the sukkah only if you have four tefachim. So you have to note, by the way, in the Gemara, a lot of times it'll give a number and it won't specify what unit of measurement we're using. For example, in this case, we're saying shloisha and abba. How do we know that it's tefachim rather than amos? So we're going to have to rely on Lashon Zachar and Lashon Nekeva. The word Tefach is Lashon Zachar. With it goes Shloisha and Arba'ah, which are also Lashon Zachar. As we know in Lashon Kodesh, the forms of the numbers that sound feminine, that end with a kamatz and a hey, are actually Lashon Zachar, and vice versa. Shalosh and Arba would be Lashon Nekeva, Shloisha and Arba'ah are Lashon Zachar. So therefore, over here, since we're talking about tefachim, then we use the masculine forms, shloisha and arba. When we're talking about amos, or etzbois, then we're going to say shalosh and arba. So these chachamim, Rabbi says, are saying that empty space, then three tefachim is enough to passel. What do you call it? Passel eschach, you need four tefachim to passel. So I ask them, Aver the post of a shloisha menolahu. Evidently, where are you getting that three tefachim of space passels the sukkah? Because of our Mishnah, the Tan Hilchas Sukkah Menat Fanas Shloisha Tefachim Sola. Because we said that if you have the schach three or more tefachim far away from the nearest wall, then that side is possible. That side doesn't have a wall. Well, by that logic, schach possible namu lelipsel alba abba amas. So Rabbi says, I asked them, why are you telling me that schach posel is going to passel with four tefachim based on our Mishnah? It seems it should be arba amos. It should be four amos. The Tanan, the second part of our Mishnah. Bais shenifchas v'sikich al gabav. If the ceiling of a house caved in and you put schach on top of it, im yesh ben asikuch v'lakoysel dalan amos psula. And only if you have four amos is it posel. So four amos, not four tefachim. Where are you getting four tefachim from? The Omruli, and they told me, Barmi Nadahi, never mind that. Dahi, the Rabbi Shmo, Amitabam, Shem Doifin Akuma Noguba. Because in that case, it's by the side, so it's a special case. Then we say we can apply Doifin Akuma. Because because Bechlau, the point is, in other words, we're saying Schach Posel is Posel if you have four Tvachim. But if you have it by the edge of the sukkah, and you're going to say doifin akuma, then you can't call it schach posel at all. It's not stach, it's part of the wall. So therefore, then you can have, then, and we know halacha l'moshe Sinai is doifen akuma, applies up to four amas. So so on the other hand, when we say four tefachim, we're talking about in the middle of the sukkah. So then Rabbi says, I continued and I asked them, still, what's the logic? Ma ilu ika schach posel pochas ma'aba. Imagine that you had less than four tefachim of posel schach, the aber pochas mishloisha, and you had next to it was airspace less than three. Mai, so what would be the din? Ksheira. Evidently, it would be kosher because you don't have four tefachim of posel schach. You don't have three. You don't have three tefachim of space. So it sounds like so far so good. But now mal yibeshfud in mai. But now what would happen? By the way, Tosfos brings up an interesting point. We're saying over here that schach posel and air don't combine together. And the reason is because they have different shiurim, and we have in general, in Torah, we say that two different things that have different shiurim don't combine together. Tosfos asked an interesting point. What if you have two tefachim of posel schach, then less than three tefachim of airspace, and another two tefachim of posel schach, would those two tefachim on each side of the space combine together, or would we say that not? Tosfos does also mention that if the posel ones together are not we're not going to say if, let's say, you had one tefach of posel and then less than three of kosher, less than three rather of airspace, and another one tefach of posel, then for sure we're not going to combine it together and say and consider it and consider it as though it was closed up, because we only say lavo to be makel, not to be machmir. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So Rava says, listen, let's consider a scenario as follows. What if you had less than four posel schach? Next to it, you had less than three of space. So far, you're saying the sukkah is kosher, right? Provided that you have 7x7, provided that you have 7x7 of schach. But ma'ya b'shfud in mai, what would happen then if you filled up that whole empty space with iron spits, which are posel schach, mai psula? Then it would be posel. So v'lo yehei aver aposel b'shloisha k'schach posel aposel ba'arba amas. So shouldn't air, which after all is more chomer because the posel is only three tefachim, shouldn't it be like schach posel, which posels with according to you that schach posel is posel with four tefachim. So air is more chomer. In other words, if schach posel combines together to form four tefachim, then how much more so air, which is more chomer, should combine together to posel the sukkah. He's saying if we say that posel schach need four amos, then fine. Four amos is a makom chashuv. So therefore you're going to say that schach posel passels it, and you're going to say air is something different. Air passels only empty space. Passels only three tefachim. But if you're saying that even posel schach is passeling it with four tefachim, and you're saying and you're agreeing that that any posel schach that's in those four tefachim combines together, then why shouldn't air, then by that logic, airspace should also combine together and make it possible. What he's saying is that that you have the fact is if you have four tefachim of space of schach posel, that according to you would be posel. So why is three tefachim of space, where space is more chomer than posel schach, why is it not posseling it as well? But omruli, and they answered me, then according to you, then if so, then according to your logic also, you're saying that you agree that schach posel passels the sukkah, but you're saying that you need four amos rather than four tefachim. Nu, ask the same logic on yourself. Ma schach posel amos, If you had possible schach less than 4 amos, and next to it was airspace less than 3 tefachim, then it would be my cheder, then it would be kosher. Mal yibeshvudin my psula, and if you filled that empty space up with shvudin, then it would be possible. You could ask the same logic on yourself. The same logic that you're using on us. Why is airspace, which is after all more chomer, why over here, when you have airspace instead of shvudin, then you're being makel and saying the sukkah is kosher? The same question that you're asking on us, you could ask on yourself. The only difference is the scenario would be that to begin with, you begin with schach posel less than 4 amos, rather than less than 4 tefachim in the scenario that you asked us. So Rava says, I said to them, that's not a valid comparison. Hi, Mai. What kind of a comparison is that? According to me, that I say, in all cases, you need 4 amos, apostle of schach, to apostle of sukkah, whether on the side or whether in the middle. Then according to that, I would say, Mishum Shiura. Look, the fact is, you have a lochel Mishum Sinai that you need 4 amos to apostle it. And less than that is a high lab shiurahu. And over here, the lab shiurahu is a mishum shiura. The lab mishum shiura. It's because whether you have enough to constitute a shiur or whether you don't have enough to constitute a shiur, 4 amos is considered a shiur. Less than that is not. So fine. Hi, lab shiurahu. So okay. In this case over here, we don't have enough of a shiur of schach posel. And kiven deloy shovush yurai la adori lemitzavi. And since schach posel needs 4 amos and air needs only 3 tefachim, then therefore we would say they don't combine together, like we said before, that Galactosca said mentioned on Oman Aleph, that different things that have different sizes don't combine, different shiurim don't combine together. So therefore they don't combine together. So that's according to me. You can understand why air is not going to combine with it only fine. If you have four amos of completely possible schach, it's going to be possible. But if you have to have some of that, 4 amos has to be made up out of empty space, then we're not going to do it. But says Rabba to these Bnei HaYeshiva, according to you, Dam Ritu Shir Mishum HaFloga, you're saying it's not a matter of a shear of 4 amos because 4 amos is halacha l'mishum sinai that it's considered a significant area. You're saying that 4 tefachim already is enough to be considered a significant area. You're saying the problem is it's a svara that we often find that 4 tefachim is considered a place for itself. For example, when it comes to Rishuyas of Shabbos. And you have, so you're saying, in other words, the problem is that your schach kosher is separated from the rest of the schach kosher or from the nearest wall. So then, in that case, mali isplug the schach posel, mali isplug the schach posel. So what's the difference? 4 tefachim is 4 tefachim. It shouldn't matter whether it's all posel schach or whether it's partially posel schach and partially air. Either way, 4 tefachim, you're saying the problem is 4 tefachim because that's enough to be considered a mokum choshur. So I'm saying 4 amos is a shear to pasel. So therefore, in order to pasel, you need something that has all one shear. But you're saying the problem is that they're separated. Well, if they're separated, who cares whether they're separated with all possible schach or some possible schach and air? The Gemara doesn't mention an answer that they gave. However, the Ritva gives a svara that you know what the reason is, because with the reason why air, the reason why empty space passes the sukkah is because it breaks the schach in two. Whereas a schach posel is four tefachim because you need a mokum choshu and it's more like a chatzitza. So therefore, again, you have different shiurim. So it's not a matter of just svara that how far it's separated from each other. It's a matter of shiurim. How much of a shiur is considered to divide the sukkah in two versus how much of a shiur is considered to be a chatzitza. Okay. Omalei Abaya. But Abaya says to Rava, okay, you have a very good svara, but ulamar nami, but even according to your own svara, that you're saying schach posel always is 4 amos, never 4 tefachim. After all, it's true when it comes to a large sukkah, again, large being defined as once we consider the schach posel, then you still have left seven tfachim, seven by seven tfachim. So sure, by then there's going to be a difference where aver is always going to be three tfachim and schach posel is going to be four amos. But the sukkah tana mila shavu shiurayu. But don't you have the same shiur when it comes to a small sukkah? When it comes to a small sukkah, where after all, both of them are going to be three tfachim, because now you have, in other words, with a large sukkah, we're saying again, you have seven by seven tfachim of schach left. So therefore, you're good, and we just have to consider whether it's close enough to the walls. But when you have a small sukkah and you're trying to use the schach posel or the air to combine toward the seven tfachim, obviously three tfachim, it's going to be three tfachim either way, the same way, because once you have three tfachim or more, then you can't say lavud anymore, then you can't combine it towards the seven tfachim. So then, milo shavu shiurayu, don't you have the same shiur over there of three tfachim? So therefore, so in that case, why don't we say once we have that they have the same shear in that case, why don't we apply the same thing? They should have the same shear in other, they should be able to combine together in other places as well and be able to say that three tfachim of space should add up towards the, or less than three tfachim of space, should add up towards the four amos of posel schach, according to you. So why don't we say that? Amalei. So Rabbi answers him, Hosam Lav Mishim to Shavu Shiurai La Dodihu. Actually, it's not because in that case the Shiurim are the same. The Shiurim are in fact different. Elamishim de Lesi, the Shiur de Sukkahu. The problem is something else. The problem is in a small Sukkah, you're left with, you don't have seven by seven Tfachim of Sach. Therefore we don't care what the remainder is, whether the part that's not kosher Sach, whether it's possible Sach, or whether it's air. So the problem is that you don't have enough of a size of a sukkah. The problem is not that you have X amount of posel schach or X amount of air. Really, in and of itself, schach posel is four amos. Just over here, practically speaking, you're not going to have seven tefachim of sukkah. So the Gemara asks, "V'chol heichad le'shavu shiurayu la'adadu le'mitzdarfi." So you're telling me that any time that the shiurim of two things are different, then they don't combine together. V'hatznan, we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim, habeged shloisha shloisha, the minimum size of cloth to be metame, with tumas midras in particular, is 3 by 3 tefachim. Has sack, a sackcloth, which is made out of a coarser cloth. Abar alabar, there you need a larger amount, 4 by 4 tefachim. Ha'or, a leather, chamisha al chamisha, 5 by 5. Mapots, and a mat made out of reeds or whatever, woven together. Shisha al shisha, 6 by 6. V'toni ala, and we learn continuing in the Mishnah over there, ha'beged v'hasak, that if you have some cloth and some sackcloth, ha'sak v'or, some sackcloth and some leather, ha'or v'hamapots, or some leather and some mat with stipends AMZ that combine together. So we see that even though they have different sizes, you're able to combine them together. Why don't we say the same thing over here as far as Avir and Posel Schach? The answer is Hosam Kipka 20 timer. There it's different. You actually have the Mishnah goes on to say the reason. Amar Rav Shimon Matam, because all of them combined together, you could still sit on them. They're able to become Tomei as a seat. Because it's not, as in fact we learn in another Mishnah, if a person cuts out from all of these things, and cuts out a piece of tefach by a tefach, meaning, in other words, before we said you need 3 by 3 or 4 by 4 or whatever, that was talking about just a rough piece. But if you take a piece and makatseya, you smooth out the edges of it, and you make it nicely squared off, and it's only one tefach by one tefach tome, then already it's makabel tuma. So the question is, tefach al tefach l'may chazi, what could you possibly use a tefach by a tefach for? Didn't we just say you need 3 by 3 or 4 by 4 or whatever? Because you could use it as a patch for the saddle of a donkey, and then a person can sit on it. So you see in that case, you can, by the same token, for example, you can combine together cloth and sackcloth or sackcloth and leather or whatever, because you could sit on the combination of them. So we don't care about the fact that they have different shiurim, because the fact is they can still be used to sit on together. But over here, we're talking about things that have different shiurim, where schach possible is only going to be possible with four tfachim according to the chachamim in the yeshiva over there, and four amos according to Rabbah, and on the other hand, aver is going to be possible with three tfachim, so therefore those don't have the same shiur, and therefore those can't combine together. So the discussion will continue, but since the discussion will continue.